When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
I'm here for it, Brock.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
This is the latest sign that we live in the truly dumbest time in human history.
So she's saying people shouldn't say, ooh, that cake's too big for me?
Right. Don't size shame someone's piece of cake, just like you don't size shame their booty.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen!
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
No, but I do like,
booty.
When it comes to, you know, when it comes to the female anatomy, you know the saying, thick thighs save lives.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Oh, I don't like the thighs.
Oh, God, that's
very
judgmental.
I only like the breasts.
Huge boobs.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shimy. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Well, to everybody that listens, especially the Twitch chat, Merry Christmas.
Merry
Happy
Christmas,
holidays.
Curtis.
Courtney, Wiggy, love you both.
Enjoy it. We'll see you next year.
See you next year. See you, Jack. Bye.
Merry Christmas, Curtis.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory. And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of...
You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill! Greg Hill! Show! All right.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Greg Hill Show. Courtney Cox here with Jermaine Wiggins. It is another edition of Wiggy and the Woman.
That is it.
Giving the people what they want, Wiggy, right ahead of the holidays.
Yeah, we're doing a little something different now, over here.
Now, you sound a little bit congested, and I'm worried that I got you sick.
No, I'm fine.
I heard you coughing.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, coughing. I might have had a little, like, you know, phlegm in the throat, so I had to kind of clear that out. You know, it's like when you start your car in the morning, sometimes when it's a little bit older, get that little, like, yeah, you know, sometimes you get a little like that phlegmy in the throat.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I feel great.
Good. Happy Friday.
It is Friday, yep. So I ain't complaining about ish. big weekend of football, especially college football playoffs. So I am excited about that.
And we have a lot to get to today. Obviously a bad night for both the Bruins and the Celtics last night. We'll get to that. But our fearless producer is back in studio. I knew he wouldn't lead us astray on a Friday. Shime is back. Shime, how are we feeling? What was the diagnosis? Are you going to make it?
Yeah, I'm alive. As you can tell, still a little nasally, unfortunately. I'm dealing with some kind of sinus infection, they believe. The vid tests came back negative, so shout out to that.
Still taking those? Really?
I guess. Well, the doctor made me. I don't know what you want from me. I didn't take them at home. He was convinced that's what it was. I'm like, sir, I don't believe that's what it is. So I'm just dealing with a sinus infection. Taking over-the-counter medicine, just pushing through. You know,
what
one
about
day
a
at
flu?
Time.
Did they give you a flu test?
No, no flu.
Ooh. Well, I don't
have
know.
A fever.
That's what's going around.
Well, the flu?
The flu is really bad.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't it in the flu just the cold?
Exactly. That's why I'm surprised they didn't give him a flu test.
No, yeah. All I have is just like a giant sinus congestion. It hasn't even, like normally it makes, you know, makes your way down to the throat, you know, and screws you up. But in this case, no, it's just staying up in the sinus.
So you're clogged up then.
Oh, big time. What
about a Z-Pak? Did they give you one?
No.
That'll clear you right up.
I know. So normally they would give you antibiotics, but because it's just like sinus infection, they're not giving me an antibiotics. They're just take over the counter stuff.
You got to know somebody good to get the Z-Pak. I'll tell you what I use. I use the Vicks nasal spray.
Ooh, okay.
That is the best thing in the world.
I haven't used Vicks since I was like 12.
Oh my God, that's how I sleep at night. I put it under my nose on my chest, the vapor rub.
All right, maybe I'll have to get some tonight.
No, get the nasal spray. One hit of the nasal spray and
I got both of them.
Clogged up. In a minute, you'll be smelling the roses. That's how good this is.
Well, because that's been the issue for me. I can't. It's a pain in the ass just to brush my teeth. I can't breathe out of my nose.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Vicks Vapor Rub.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah. The spray, though, not this stuff you put under your nose.
Well, both. You could do both.
Yeah, but the spray is actually 20 times better because the spray goes right into the nostrils and it clears it right out. Sometimes the Vapor Rub, it doesn't really work. It doesn't unclog you. Mm-hmm. The nasal spray unclogs you, hands down.
A lot of people were also telling me to do a neti pod. I've never done that.
I've done that before.
I heard it's gross.
No, it's just like, you know, you put the water and the saline, and then you just like, you know, you're clearing all that area up. But once you do that, it then comes back, the congestion. That's why the best thing to do, I'm telling you, Shime, is go to your local CVS, Walgreens, wherever you go, and get, I should be endorsing this.
You should.
Vicks nasal spray.
Okay, because I have been ripping Mucinex, because that's what Courtney told me to do on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I am almost through an entire box of Mucinex over the last 2 days. I need to try something else. So, Wiggy, that's what I will grab on my way home today.
Also, pick up some Liquid IV, the immunity boost one.
Have lots of that at home.
Okay, that one's very good.
Okay, cool.
Well, if you have any good remedies for Shime, you could text or call the show, 617-779-7937. That's the Subaru of New England text line. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. It is a Patriots Friday. We'll be joined by Jelani Tavai at 7:15 this morning. And obviously, I'm driving the bus, Shime, so I'll need your help. For that trending in the 7 o'clock hour, we break early to do trending so that we can get to Jelani at 7:15?
Correct, yeah. We'll break like 5 minutes early or so, so that we get to Jelani right at the beginning of that second segment in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay, perfect. We'll also have Nick Kostos joining us at 9:30. I hope he has the same fire in him that he had last Friday. I'm bummed I missed that.
Oh, it was
he
such
and
a
Curtis.
Good time.
So what were they fighting about?
They were fighting about Bill Belichick.
Yeah, because Curtis was whining about Bill or something, and Nick was like, I'm tired of you whiny Patriots fans. You had 20 years of success, and then it just went, I mean, if we have the audio, and then it just went downhill, and Nick just undressed him.
Oh, I like
that. You know how the ladies say somebody got red? Well, Curtis got red by Nick Kostos.
All right, I like that. Mm-hmm. So he'll join us at 9:30. His lock this week, Shime, I know you weren't here yesterday. His college lock is the Notre Dame game.
Yep.
Curtis's lock?
Yeah, he's riding the Irish this week. Yeah.
I like that. I also like the Irish this week, so I am on board with my guy Big Kurt, who has been, I gotta say, as a gambling guy here who gambles a lot, I won't say I'm good, but I gamble
degenerate.
A lot. Yeah, degenerate.
Yeah.
Curtis has made me a lot of money this season when it comes to college football picks. He has been nails. So
well, you
got to
find out
to
tonight because Notre Dame plays tonight. They play Indiana
at 8, right?
Yep. So you'll find out tonight.
Well, I hope you didn't bet on the Celtics at all yesterday, because that was a disaster. And three technicals. I don't know if you watched that one, Wiggy, but Joe Mazzulla fired up.
Stupid, the refs, though. Like, it's just dumb. I don't get, like, some of these technical fouls. The one on Tatum, I didn't even really, like, see what he did that he got called for a technical foul. They just fell apart in the fourth quarter. They let Chicago go on that little bit of a run. So they, but it's... I'm not, like, concerned in any bit with the Celtics.
No, I'm not either, but it seemed like they were a bit rusty, which always worries me. You played two times in 10 days. You should be well rested, but instead you were well rusted. And then the Bruins lose it in overtime, Jeremy Swayman letting one go. Mm-hmm. They came out hot. I know Shimes, the hockey guy, they came out hot in the first period, I thought. They looked stronger, they looked faster, they looked better. And then it just fell apart in the second, third, and then overtime.
Yeah, this Bruins team, just for whatever reason, has not been able to play great defense. And you saw that last night by blowing the lead. I felt good. Like, I went to sleep last night. The Bruins were already up. I'm like, oh, this is great. Perfect time for me to go to bed. And I wake up and they lost in overtime. Granted, it's to a really good Oilers team, but at the same time, like, you know, you get a 2-goal lead on the Oilers, you need to hold on to that.
But even with the Bruins, right, like, we always talk about, we got into this, and I think it was from, you know, a few years ago when they had that record-breaking season. Like, the regular season sometimes gives us this false hope or of like, all right, or maybe even you feel like, all right, what kind of team is this in the regular season? And then they come out and they perform, you know, they might perform well in the playoffs. I just think with this Bruins team that they're going to be, you know, they're playing obviously better for Sackle than they were for Montgomery. But it's really going to be, what do they look like in the postseason?
They got to get in the postseason first.
Yeah, I think they'll get,
I'm worried about that.
I think they get in, though.
And I think that there's a Swayman issue as well. I've been saying it since the beginning. Wiggy told me it was because he missed, you know, a lot of preseason. I think there's an issue there. He is not the same Jeremy Swayman. He's letting goals in that he would not even dare to let in last season.
Yeah, but I think it's more of like, you know, you miss some stuff and then you put a lot of... Well, you put, like, a lot is on your shoulders because of the new contract. I think that this team, you know, like, I think I said it yesterday, Shime, you weren't here. They'll probably end up somewhere, you know, 6th, 7th, or 8th seed. I think they get in the playoffs. Even Milbury brought it up. The teams that are, like, behind them are really not threatening teams to them. So they get into the postseason. And if they're one and done, then I think it's really about what Sweeney's going to do with a head coach moving forward. And if they, you know, not only just the head coach, but some of the pieces that they have moving forward, you know, what do you do with Lindholm, right? You gave this guy some money a few years ago. Is this somebody, you know,
both Lindholms at this point?
Right, right. But you just gave Elias Lindholm money this season. I don't know if you can move on from him. You know, I don't really know how that works in hockey. Like, is it worth moving on from guys 1 year into when you gave them some money? At least the other Lindholm, it's been like, you know, 3 years or two or 3 years. Maybe you figure out, can you get something for him? They've got to make a decision on what Brad Marchand is going to do. Isn't his contract up at the end of the year?
His contract is up at the end of the year. Right. And I can't expect that he would take... He would ask for a very big contract going into the next few years.
But do you want to give him just like, you know, remember
what Bergeron did at the end to give him like the veterans minimum, more or less?
Yeah, like, what, didn't Bergeron get like a 1 year, $5 million deal?
Might have even been like 1 year, $3 million.
Okay. You know, or is that what you want to do? Or are you happy with the guys that you're building around? So I think there's a lot of questions that have to be answered this offseason, especially with this Bruins thing.
Yeah, best case scenario for them is they get hot at the end of the season, and then they're that eighth seed that nobody wants to play. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is they miss the playoffs entirely.
Yeah. All right, before we continue with any more sports, David is even better than WebMD, and he has something to say to Shime when it comes to nasal spray. Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys. Great, hey, you guys are great together. I know the show just started, but I'm enjoying it. Thank you. As always, you guys are great anyway. Yeah, so on nasal spray, you have to be very careful when you're spraying any kind of spray into your nostrils or anything like that, because a lot of stuff, you got to read the ingredients. You know, a lot of people take for granted, oh, it's approved by the FDA. Don't be fooled by half of the stuff that's approved by FDA. It doesn't mean it's healthy. That's not, you know, always try to go the natural way. Steam water, just plain water, you know, in a bowl, and put a towel over your head and just pull your head over that bowl. you'd be amazed what they'll do to you with no ingredients, nothing in it, just old-fashioned steam water.
I've done that before, Shime, though.
I'm good.
But the problem with the problem with that, though, is, Shime, is that, you know, when the clogging of the nose really gets you, it gets you when you're in bed and you're sleeping.
That's the toughest part. And trust me, I've tried steam. Like, I've taken extremely steamy showers a couple times. Mm-hmm. I tried the steam bowl. None of it has worked.
Humidifier next to your bed, too.
That helps. I'm telling you, the best thing is because the nasal spray, whatever chemicals that they have in there, once you shoot
it's right up in there.
Oh, it's right up in there, and then it just clears you out. And now you're laying down in bed and you're able to actually sleep, and it stays like that for hours on hours, you know? And that's the biggest thing. And if you do get clogged up, and that's the worst thing to do is try to sleep when you're clogged up.
It's miserable.
Oh,
because then too, like, you become a mouth breather all night.
Oh, and that's bad.
You wake
for your
up
jaw.
With cotton mouth. Yep. It's bad for your jaw. Yep. Your lips are all chapped. It's a nightmare.
I'm telling you, and Chime, I might not know nothing about nothing, but when it comes to having a clogged up nose, the Vicks nasal spray is the way to go.
All right, well, we will get to your calls. I see some people already calling the show this morning to talk about the Patriots. More cold advice for Shime. We'll get to TJ after the break. But let's get to this morning and what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Yeah, the Celtics fall to the Bulls 117-108. The Seas made 14 out of their 56 attempted threes, Wiggy.
Yeah, that's where they were struggling. Yeah. They couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. But the whole game was relatively close until, like, there was a stretch in the fourth quarter.
But you can't miss that many threes. If you're a team that lives and dies by the three.
But that's the thing, Courtney. When you live and die by it, you're the game that you had last night from shooting from behind a three-point line, that's something that's not the norm.
Yeah.
So that's why you kind of live and you die by it, because most nights you're going to be shooting much better than that.
We already talked about the three technicals for the Celtics. We'll hear what Joe Mazzulla had to say about the refs during They Said It. That'll come at 7:30. Jason Tatum had a double-double with 31 points and 10 rebounds in the loss. They have another shot with the Bulls in Chicago tomorrow. That will be at 8 p.m. The Bruins also falling in Edmonton. This one went to OT after the Bees came out strong in the first period. 3-2 the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 23 saves in the loss. Thursday Night Football had the Chargers beating the Broncos 34-27. Justin Herbert threw for 284 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Did you bet on that one at all?
No, I didn't bet on that one. I was watching that. Denver was up, 21-10?
Yeah.
At half, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, the kid Bo Nix is playing well. And, you know, my son and I were talking about this last night with the game, is that those are two, like really solid teams, you know, when you think about where they're headed and everything. So, you know, I was like, all right, it was a solid Thursday night football game that you can watch. It wasn't like the horrible ones Monday night. Was it the Raiders and I don't even know who the
Falcons?
Oh, God.
That was gross.
Oh.
And it's a Patriots Friday. We'll be joined by Jelani Tavai at 7:15 this morning to talk about the Pats' loss last weekend and what to expect against the Bills on Sunday. Before that, the Chiefs have the Texans on Saturday. Final injury report indicates Patrick Mahomes good to go on Saturday.
See, I mean, I'm gonna have to DP it Saturday.
Pause.
But yeah, right? I don't, because that game is gonna be right on with the college football playoffs and a bolt of the game, so it's kind of like, and I don't mind the DP, but it becomes the TV, you know, the screen is smaller.
Yeah.
So I have to, but I'll really probably be focused more on college football this weekend.
All right. Well, that's what's trending. We're going to get to Shime and the weather, but after that, we'll get to our leads this morning. And Jackson, I know you can hear me in the back room. You have a lead this morning. All right, there we go.
The weather currently 31 degrees here in the city of Boston. The high today is 37. Be aware, you could see a couple snowflakes as you're driving into work this morning. Nothing accumulating. But later this evening, you will get more, possibly up to about 2 inches of snow tonight.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of snow. Nothing too crazy, though, Wiggy. Oh. Nothing crazy. More like a dusting, but possible up to 2 inches.
Okay.
Great first rejoin, Shime. That song slaps over and over and over again.
Who is that?
Come on, Courtney. You know exactly who that is. She won American Idol.
Kelly Clarkson.
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry.
She's having, I gotta tell you, Kelly Clarkson is having the biggest like resurgence a career can possibly have.
She never left though, and she's had her.
She kind of did.
No, she has her residency in Vegas.
Oh, I didn't even know she had a residency.
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying, like, because like post American Idol, she was super hot,
yeah.
Super hot, killing it. And then she was good for a little while. Then kind of like, I don't want to say fell off, but
she does the
a little
TV
bit.
Show though.
Yeah, and that's where she came back. She had got her own TV show. Now she's kicking butt all over the place. Probably did Awaken because she lost a ton of weight too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Looking great, crushing it. You know.
She also does a great job when she has singers on because she'll take one of their songs and sing with them, and forget how talented she is.
Yeah, she can sing.
Yeah, she has one of the best.
I feel
voices.
Like all those like American Idol and voice people, out of as many seasons or winners there are, there's only a handful of them that are actually like really successful.
It's her and Carrie Underwood. I think that's
right?
it.
I mean, Jennifer Hudson's wicked successful. She didn't win though. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is I think a lot of people that are more successful didn't even win American Idol.
But even the ones that are like on it that didn't win, I'm just talking about the contestants that we've, you know, if you watch the show, like whether it's The Voice, it seems like there's only a handful of all the contestants, winners included, that you go, oh, unless maybe they're doing music that I don't know about. But it doesn't seem like really any of them have turned into like these mega, mega stars other than Carrie Underwood, Kelly Clarkson, Jennifer Hudson,
but she didn't win.
Right?
Yeah.
And is there anybody else that I wouldn't even know off the top of my head? And one of the country singers was on there that's one of the big ones.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah. No, a male though.
A male country singer?
Yeah, I thought there was like a male country singer who was on that show and is like a really big star. Now, I could be wrong, though.
I want to go see Megan Maroney is coming to Boston in the spring, and I want to go see her because I don't know if she's a country singer. And when everybody was in Nashville for the Foundation Golf Tournament 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they ran into her.
Oh.
So, like, Greg's met her before. I want to make sure that we get in on that.
Yeah, she is on the come up, as the kids say.
Yes. All right. We're about to get to the leads. Jackson has taken his place. I'm very excited to hear his lead this morning. But Frank's been on the hold for a bit. So here's Frank from Cape Coral. Morning, Frank.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hope everything is well. Wiggy, good morning. How are you?
What up? What's going on, brother?
Not much. Just enjoying life. I didn't get a chance to call last week, but I just wanted to wish you guys a happy holidays and everything else. But not to rub any salt in the wound or anything for you, Courtney, because I know you were bringing up with Ken. But for me being spoiled, do you guys have the Fort Myers road trip already planned already and dates?
We do. I think I can say when we're going.
I don't know. You know,
okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it's above my pay grade.
So I should not
Courtney.
Say?
I don't know.
Yeah, let Greg announce that. I have no idea.
Okay.
All I know is we'll be in Florida.
Frank, you're trying to get me in trouble right before the holidays.
No.
We will be down there.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
We will be down there.
Yeah,
okay, real quick, because I know when I went to Oran Island, there's a ton of Dolphins fans that listen to the show like me. But my greatest question today for you guys, who's the worst? Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. Who's got the worst future? Who's got the best future right now? Because I can't compete with Buffalo. And that's my question. And I can't answer it, honestly.
I would say, for me, it's easy. I think it's the Jets in the division when you look at
the worst
or the best?
No, the worst.
Yeah.
Because the Jets, you don't know what's going to happen with their quarterback. At least the Dolphins, you know, granted, two of them played great last week, but, you know, you can kind of say
he ebbs and flows.
Yeah, but at least they could say they got a quarterback. Buffalo, obviously, we know about Josh Allen and the Patriots. I would say the Patriots are second behind Buffalo because you have the quarterback, where the Jets, they're going to either go with Rodgers for one more year and then have to figure out where they're going to go with the quarterback situation, where New England has their guy in place. It's more about whether you believe in the coach, if you think Mayo's the guy. If not, you find a new guy, but you have the quarterback, and it's really about putting the pieces around them. And but that's what I would say. I think, and then I would say it's probably the Dolphins and then the Jets. They're way behind.
I don't think that the, like, I still don't think Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I don't think he's going to play for the Jets or anywhere else. I think he's going to retire. I am going to watch the documentary this weekend. That's on my list of things to do. Curtis has spoken pretty highly about it.
And right.
Curtis basically is taking Aaron Rodgers' side when it comes to things he said in the past, how he deals with his family. And I wonder if after watching that, if I'll have more clarity on his future, if I think that he'll come back.
I bet if you watch that, because when I watch him on, I watched him on Pat McAfee a little bit the other day when he was like, you know, ripping Ryan Clark. There's no way that just because of who he is, and I probably would be the same way, I would want to walk away from football after the performance that I had, that my team had. I would not want that to be the lasting impression of what the, you know, what people think I am. Because I think he's like, you know, he's very cocky. And there's no way he walks away. He was like ripping into Ryan Clark and, you know, all the people, vaxxers and all this. Like, he's not going away. Even if he like leaves football, he's still gonna be out there. So I just don't think he's going to walk away and then be out there and knowing how bad of kind of like his last couple of seasons were in people's mind.
I think the cockiness and the way in which he blames everybody else around him is his downfall. Like, I think that that is going to, he's going to end the season. He's going to say, I'm banged up. I never fully recovered from the Achilles, whatever he's going to say.
Well, you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, and I agree with you, but he's going to say, I was coming off the Achilles injury. I was rusty. I really, last year was kind of more the injury holding me back. But now I'm 2 years removed from the injury and I feel great.
I don't know.
That's probably what he's
going to
say.
You don't think he's coming back, Sean?
No, I think he is going to come back.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he's going to play for the Jets. I think they're just going to run it back. I think it's going to be, and I'm so excited to root against it because it's just, watching the Jets be a dumpster is the best. But I think Wiggy's right. Like, you saw last week in that game against Miami, Aaron Rodgers even said, he's like, I felt mobile, I felt good, I felt spry, and he ran for like 40 yards. I think that's going to be his excuse. He's going to feel better these last couple games. He's going to feel a little bit more athletic. Mm-hmm. He's going to look better, and it's going to be like, yeah, that first, you know, 12 games of the season was because I was still getting over that ankle or the Achilles injury. I was still finding my way back, and I'm all, you know, the guys are always better a year after the year after, right? So it's not the year after the injury, it's that second year that you really expect them to come back to who they were, and that's what Rodgers' excuse will be. He'll come back and try again, and the Jets will be an epic failure, and it'll be great for everybody.
And then if they get Vrabel, then he might be like, oh, and we got the guy that can help the coach. So that's going to be the interesting thing is who the Jets get as coach. And, you know, there's been a lot of whispers that it could be Vrabel. And I think if they get Vrabel, maybe Rodgers, I feel like he could get, and I don't know how long it would be for, but I feel like he would be able to get along with Vrabel. And because Vrabel kind of has that personality of, like, I think like players really respect him. And so maybe Rodgers would feel that way towards Vrabel, and maybe that it might.
Even if they get Vrabel, though, you don't think that Aaron Rodgers has a bad taste in his mouth after the reports that Woody Johnson wanted him benched?
Woody Johnson also wanted to didn't want to trade for Jerry Jeudy because his rating was too low.
But that's a completely different thing. I'm saying if you're Aaron Rodgers and you are as big of a D-bag as I think we all believe he is, an egomaniac, like, I think he looks at Woody Johnson as such a joke, but it's his team, and I think that left a bad taste in his mouth.
Right, but you have to think, like, all right, does Rodgers look and go, I got enough talent in Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson and the defense and Breece Hall. I got talent here where I'm only going to play for another year, two max. If I ask to be traded or released or go, then where potentially could I land that might not, that place might not have everything like the Jets have just on paper. Mm-hmm. And then if they get a new coach and he likes Vrabel, he might say, okay, I can kind of deal with Woody Johnson. But I think it's really going to be more about what happens with the new head coach before Rodgers makes kind of like that final decision on where he'd like to play. Because they're going to have to trade him. You're probably not going to get much for him. Then are they just going to release him? And then if they release him, don't they have to eat a bunch of money?
Yeah.
They don't have to eat a bunch, but they do have to eat some.
Yeah. Right. And is it worth releasing him?
I don't know. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. But right now, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
I like the Leah Michelle version.
Stop it. This is Leah the best
Michelle?
Version.
Yeah.
The audio of mine.
Oh, what are we doing?
This is the best version.
Okay,
tell her, Wiggy.
This is Wham.
Bam.
George Michaels.
Okay.
Boo. She doesn't like George Michael.
Come
boo.
On. Okay. George Michaels. I mean, R.I.P. He's moved on. George Michaels was the man. He was the man.
That's a good way to put it when someone dies. They moved on. Yeah.
That's the best version of it. If Sean played anything else, I would have. I got you, Wiggs. I was going to have an absolute a B flip.
You got to listen to the Leah Michelle version. Glee Christmas 3, I think, is the album.
Oh, God. Leah Michelle.
Wham's Last Christmas may be. No, without a doubt, is my favorite Christmas song.
And the video's just as good.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, that's when videos used to be good. They would tell the story of it. They would go into that nice little cabin in the mountains to go skiing. Such a great song.
All right, well, the leads are brought to you by Subaru of New England. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. SubaruofNewEngland.com. All right, Shime, good morning.
Good morning. First lead back here. And Wiggy, I know you appreciate a good gift giver, just like the rest of us.
Yep.
Joe Burrow seems to be one of the best gift givers there is. Joe Burrow gifted his offensive lineman Japanese samurai or katana swords.
Mm.
Authentic Japanese katana swords. He brought them all in a room, and he had all of the swords laid out, and he said, pick whichever one calls to you.
Oh,
go do
Jesus.
It. Pick whichever one you want. Each one had its own unique story on how it was made, where it was from, the certain town, the battle that it was involved in.
It's like a Kill Bill scene.
Yeah, I know. Rich Keefe would be very happy with this present, owning a sword himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say shout out to Joe Burrow for being an excellent gift giver. If anybody wants to buy me a katana sword, I would love one as well. Good job by Joe Burrow.
Not better than Brock Purdy, though.
No, not better than Anthony Walker.
What did Brock Purdy get? I missed this.
Brock Purdy got every one of his offensive linemen new trucks.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that
Brock
one
Purdy makes like 800 grand a year.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Well, I mean, he probably had a deal. He gifted his old lineman the Toyota Tundra trucks.
Oh, nice.
That's a good gift. Mahomes gave his old lineman
Rolex and cowboy boots.
Okay, I'm like,
that's cool.
And I'm like, not for me.
No way.
Oh, I think that's pretty cool.
The Rolex's cool.
Yeah, the Rolex's cool.
Yeah,
I don't need the cowboy boots. You take that back.
Did you see Anthony Walker, though, with the Dolphins? Sentimental, but he got all of his teammates their high school jerseys, like a version of their high school jerseys.
Oh, really?
It was just cute.
That.
They all loved it.
That's the one thing that when I played, this wasn't a big thing.
You don't like getting gifts because you don't like giving gifts.
No. But if I would have loved for one of my quarter, look at the Brock Purdy. Look at those trucks.
No, I know. That's cool.
I would have loved to play, but it wasn't a big thing. I didn't, maybe
that truck looks nice.
You didn't get a gift from
TRX
Brady?
Too?
No, that's the Toyota one right there. So those, I mean.
Wait, you didn't get a good gift from Brady or?
No. Brady was still, he's still a young pup.
And Wiggy wasn't technically an offensive lineman.
But I thought that you just.
No, I never got anything. It's pretty cool, though. Hey, listen, Brock Purdy just got a couple more cool points for me.
I'd
love to play. If that's the type of teammate you want. That's what you do when you're a quarterback.
Okay.
You don't give him.
And that's the guy. That's the quarterback who makes the least amount of money in football.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Wiggy's right. He got a deal.
He's definitely doing commercials at some Toyota dealer in San Francisco. But still,
I mean, that's a commercial for them right there.
Right. Exactly.
All right, well, great lead, Chime.
Thank you.
Jackson, good morning.
Good morning.
Stellar
How are
leads
you?
The last 2 days.
Well, thank you very much. I think that this one is going to be an all-timer, Wiggy. You're going to love this. So I bring you back to the year 1881.
All right.
A fellow by the name of James Wide, he worked for the Cape Town Port Elizabeth Railway Service as a service, signal changer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they used to call him Jumper because he was known for jumping between the rail cars.
Mm-hmm.
Except then, one time he fell and he lost both his legs under the knee.
Oof.
So, he bought a baboon named Jack to help him with his duties, right?
Okay.
So he purchased the baboon in 1881, trained him to push his wheelchair and operate the railway signals.
Mm-hmm.
An official investigation was initiated after somebody reported that a baboon was changing the railway signals. After initial skepticism, The railway decided to officially employ Jack once his job competency was verified. He was paid 20 cents a day and a half a bottle of beer each week. It's widely reported that in his 9 years of employment with the railway company, Jack never made one mistake.
Wow, get him on the MBTA.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We can't run a railway service in 2024 in Boston, yet this baboon didn't make one mistake working for a railway in South Africa in 1881.
Is this where they got the phrase, like, even a monkey could do that job?
Perhaps. Oh, wow. I'm not quite sure where that comes from, but it fits this story for sure.
Well, they are intelligent monkeys. Yeah. You ever notice that?
Very.
I mean, they feel like they do a lot of things.
And
good looking guy, too.
Right? Yeah. He would have been working for a lot longer, but he died of tuberculosis in 1890.
The monkey died of tuberculosis?
Yeah. Baboon, yes.
Oh, baboon.
Wow. Yeah. Still a monkey.
Yeah, monkeys freak me out, though.
Why do they freak you out?
Oh, look at the picture. Look at them working.
Yeah. I don't know. They just like, I don't know. I feel like after I see an outbreak, I'm like, yeah, I don't want no. And then people put diapers on them and everything.
Well, yeah, because they throw their poop.
Yeah, no, I don't want. I'm cool with that. Yeah. I mean, they could. I don't get it. Like the baboon can, you know, take a train apart and put it back together, but he throws his poop.
Yeah.
How bright are you?
Well, yeah, you know, some people have their strengths.
They're like very dirty. They're very dirty.
Like, yeah, that's why I don't like monkeys.
Yeah, yeah. But they're cute.
No, they are cute. Yeah, look at them working. 20 cents a day and a half a bottle of beer a week. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but baboons I don't think are cute. I think like lemurs are cute.
Oh,
but
I think
baboons
cute.
Are not. They're baboons terrifying.
I don't really understand the beer part either.
I don't know. Apparently he liked beer.
The baboon?
Yeah.
There also used to be, and speaking of animals that did crazy things, there was, I believe it was a bear served, I want to say it was the Polish army. And, like, he just would rip cigarettes with the guys in the army and fought in the Polish army.
All right. Well, we will get to me and Wiggy's lead coming up next. We got to take a quick break. But don't move. We'll be right back with Wiggy and the Woman. Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. No Greg Hill, no Curtis. They are both enjoying their Christmas break already. I saw some people in the Twitch already asking any more updates on Greg when it comes to that abdomen pain that he was experiencing. He does feel like it was a pulled muscle at the end of the day. So nothing to worry about. There was
a wide range of options it could have been.
Oh, man. I mean, I was really leaning towards the gas issue, especially after the CAT scan showed nothing. The blood work came back fine. That's a good checkup for him, though. I don't necessarily know if he's going to check up once a year, so
should.
I think he should, yes. But he got all his blood tests, so I think that's good for him. But it seems like a pulled muscle. And at 58, you don't really need to do much to pull a muscle.
No. The older you get, it happens to a lot of us. You just, you might just wake up and be feeling great, and then the middle of the day something's wrong, and you know, whether it's like you said, a pulled muscle. I mean, I worked out the other day, got through the workout, felt great, chilling on the couch watching a little TV, and then watched the movie Trapped, and after that my knee stopped bothering me. So it's just like, you know,
was that why you made a trip to Sweat House?
Yeah, and then I made the trip to my son and I, we went to Sweat House yesterday, so I jumped in that cold plunge for about 10-12 minutes.
You were in for 12 minutes?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well,
if you really
want to
get the benefits out of it, you got to get down in
there. Courtney's only in there for like three.
I get down in there, and I've done 10 minutes once in my life, but I do three.
Yeah, no, you got to get it. We're like, you know, I do about 20. My wife doesn't let me stay in the infrared sauna that long, so I get about 20 minutes in there because, you know, I got a little bit of high blood pressure, but it's coming down, though. Thanks, shout out to my doctor, Dr. Kabachian, for that one. And so I'll do the infrared. Greg should look into him because he needs a PCP.
Yeah.
I'll do the infrared for like 20 minutes. I'll then do like a quick little like vitamin shower to, you know, get some of that, you know, kind of just
sweat off.
Yeah, sweatness off you. I'll do that. Then I'll jump in the cold tub. I'll plunge for like 6-7 minutes. I'll come out, I'll jump into the infrared for like 10, and then I'll finish up with a 10-minute, 12-minute finish off in the cold plunge, and then a nice shower, and you feel, you know, I feel like a million bucks.
It's supposed to boost your immune system.
Oh, yeah.
All types of stuff.
I'm going tomorrow and Sunday and Monday.
And you know
I need to make
You know what's good for you, too, when you're sick? The infrared sauna.
Yeah. sweats out all the toxins.
Yeah, that's good for you when you're sick.
But they say if you do the back and forth, like the sauna, into the it'll end up, it wrings you out like a towel.
Yeah.
So that's why it helps with getting all the inflammation and phlegm out of you.
So my son and I went yesterday. You know, he obviously goes because, you know, it's good for like college athletes to kind of get the swelling down, make your body feel good. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, back to the leads. We have two leads left, me and Wiggy. Mm-hmm. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's having a great Friday. Only a few more days till the Christmas season. We talked about the technicals that the Celtics faced yesterday, and Wiggy brought up a great point when it comes to the refs and some of these calls. And it's not just a Celtics issue, though. It's across the league when it comes to the refs just not knowing what they're doing, what they're calling. It's bad. Eddie House, after the game yesterday, was asked about it, and I thought he put it perfectly. He went on a little bit of a rant. Here's what he had to say.
They lost the game because of the refs. And this is the thing. This is what the referees got to understand. And everybody has egos. They all do out there. The referees got egos, too. I played in the league for 11 years, and there was referees out there that did certain things that when they called a foul, they were more animated when they made the call. They tee you up quickly. They don't want to hear anything that you got to say. But this is what the referees got to understand. There's not one person in the building that came to see them unless they gave ticket to some work that they had. Unless it's somebody that they seen, that their wife is there, their friend is there, or somebody that they know. Nobody comes to see the referees. Get out of the way of the game. Do what you're supposed to do, and that's just officiate. Don't make it about you. Your ego should be checked at the door when you coming through, and vice versa. There should be egos checked at the door from the players. But if you are doing something egregious that's wrong, just like how you could call a technical foul, you know what? How we get fined for getting texts, they should get fined for calling bogus texts. How about that?
Perfectly put. And I think you brought up the Jason Tatum one, which was confusing.
Right.
They do put a little bit more oomph when they're calling something on a star player like that.
Right.
And it's getting to a point where I think the NBA needs to take a big look at the guys that they have employed when it comes to refs and figure out what's going wrong. But Eddie House is perfectly correct when he says that nobody's there to see you. Stop putting a spectacle on out there. Just get out of the way. Let these guys play the game.
Yeah, it is frustrating because Tatum gets killed.
Yeah.
He went in for the dunk last night and like he got hit on the arm and you would think that's a foul. They don't call it, gets killed. And I get he like looks at the refs and he does, but that's part of the game. And Eddie House is 100. I used to literally, there were times when I felt like it was a bad call when I played, I would MF the referees like it was going out of style. But that's your job. You're supposed to be able to take those F-bombs and, you know, you're like not calling them names. Just be like, effing, this is stupid, whatever, whatever. And just not let that get to you. You know what I mean? You almost got to be like a ticket counter worker at an airport. Just let the person complain and just be like, sorry, can't change your ticket, and then keep it moving. That's what you should do for players, not to tee them up. But Eddie House is right, man. Maybe we do it like the movie Tropic Thunder when, you know, the ref started to tee up Will Ferrell, and I think Will Ferrell teed him up.
Yeah.
Maybe the players could start teeing
up. You mean semi-pro?
Was that what semi-pro?
Tropic Thunder was the
Ben Stiller movie, yeah.
Yes.
Semi-pro. But that, you know, I think sometimes the referees, they just, you know, like everybody, they got egos and he ain't lying and they, you know, they get in the way. Especially, what's the Tony Brothers?
Yeah.
He's the worst. I mean, he's the worst when it comes to, like, you know, wanting to be seen by everybody.
But now, and I haven't checked since the start of the show, have they figured out if Joe Mazzulla is going to have any type of repercussion for how he exited the game yesterday?
Oh, they probably will.
Well, I think because if he's going to have a fine or
probably a fine.
I think because his assistants did a good job at restraining him as best they could. I think at most it'll be a fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it get. He won't get suspended.
He never even got close enough to the ref.
No, I know, but they could. I heard Eddie was talking about that after, like it's a delayed getting off the court type of deal, so they could technically tell.
Yeah, he might be all right though. I don't even think that warrants a fine. He's heated in the moment.
His assistant coaches though deserve a raise because
that was the
Cassell? Ultimate hold me back, I'm gonna swing moment.
God,
it had to be like two or three of them at a time.
Yeah. And Jiu-Jitsu Joe, we know he can whip some ass. So.
Oh, he would have loved to have thrown that.
Yeah.
That, you know what? That's, I bet, a rule change Joe would love is if you disagree with a ref's call, one-on-one fight, and whoever wins gets to keep the call.
All right. In the octagon?
Yep.
And it is funny because since he does do jujitsu, you know that if he wanted to, he could have gotten there.
Yeah, he's yeah.
No. So he was keeping himself under wraps. All right. Unfortunately, we have to take another quick break, but we will get to Wiggy's lead and some of your calls. I see you on hold right now after the break.